Please join in the prayer for understanding of God's word. Gracious God, heaven and earth will pass away, but your words will not pass away. Your word stands forever. May our generation be attentive so that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we remember your ways and gladly do right, meeting you wherever and whenever you appear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our reading from God's word is from Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down, how the mountains would quake in your presence. As fire causes wood to burn and water to boil, your coming would make the nations tremble. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. When you came down long ago, you did awesome things beyond our highest expectations. And oh, how the mountains quaked. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you, who works for those who wait for him. You welcome those who cheerfully do good, who follow godly ways. But we are not godly. We are constant sinners, so your anger is heavy on us. How can people like us be saved? We are all infected and impure with sin. When we proudly display our righteous deeds, we find they are but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins, like the wind, sweep us away. Yet no one calls on your name or pleads with you for mercy. Therefore, you have turned away from us and turned us over to our sins. And yet, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand. Oh, don't be so angry with us, Lord. Please don't remember our sins forever. Look at us, we pray, and see that we are all your people. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our sister in Christ, Marilyn, for helping us to continue in our attitude of worship. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for how you speak. And certainly, the scripture reminds us of that, our liturgist, what I say, what we say to each other, what goes unsaid. Keep us open to how you are speaking into our very hearts. You, the creator of everything, you speak into our very hearts. Keep us humble before you. And it's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. Go ahead and look at somebody. Get their attention. If they've nodded off, just gently wake them. We don't want anybody screaming out in panic or fear. Go ahead and look them right in the eyes. Go ahead and look somebody right in the eyes. Don't look at me. Look somebody else right in the eyes and just say, just simmer down. For some reason, I have a sense that maybe you've said that or some derivation of that, maybe to that person. Possibly. You know, just kind of simmer down means, okay, let's just take a deep breath. Let's just sort of relax, kind of get our bearings, realize that we're blessed. We're taking in oxygen. We're on this side of the grass. All sorts of good things. All sorts of good things that we can celebrate, and yet there are sometimes the smallest things that get under our skin. And maybe one of those things, is waiting in line. You know, it's interesting. I love to be able to observe, and I'm out there all the time, folks, and sometimes I have a hat on and sunglasses, so you might not even recognize me, and your pastor might be watching what you're doing out there. I don't take notes, and I don't keep a record of those things, because you might also be watching what I'm doing out there. But one time in the UPS store right over here, they're, you know, fairly often mailing out things, but one time at the UPS store, and at this time of year, you know, they have it pretty well marked about lines and let's all kind of take our turns and pay attention. Well, at one point, one sister in Christ, and I call her that lovingly, had waited enough, even though it wasn't her turn, she just went. And the person that whose turn it was, she just kind of went. And so I just kind of offered a silent prayer that no boxes were flying or anything else took place. I've waited enough. I'm going. In our walk as Christians, we claim that name. We have that name. We've been given that name. It's ours to bear also. That means to show others, to witness to others. In our walk as Christians, reflect in your life the times when you've gone barreling ahead and not necessarily sought God's guidance or discernment. Or stepped forward and said, I'm tired of waiting, God. I'm going to do it my way. The scripture passage today speaks to that, but it speaks to a larger issue of being open and humble before God. And I believe that humility is such a key virtue and characteristic of the Christian walk that I believe Jesus was the greatest example that ever lived of what humility truly is. I think there's not any excuse for us not to be humble before God and open to God, and yet there are all sorts of other things that start grabbing our attention. And maybe we just need to speak into our own lives. Just say to ourselves, just simmer down. Waiting and waiting on God is a theme in the Bible. And especially in this particular section of Scripture, because the prophet Isaiah is preaching to a conquered people. The prophet Isaiah is preaching to people who have been beaten up and who have turned away from God and now find themselves in difficult circumstances. And the people, this is almost like a psalm of lament. The people really want God to be at work in their life once again. Isaiah, the prophet, is speaking words here that we, as the people of God today, are called to hear, are called to ponder, because it's not just about God being at work in our lives again, not just being patient upon God, waiting upon God, but rather doing it in a way that will enact change from the inside out in our own hearts. Really having God abide in us so that it's completely about God and no longer about us and our time schedule. As a conquered people, as a people who had been beaten up, certainly those first verses are ones that we can all empathize with. Whenever life beats us up, and whenever we realize, oh yeah, I'm a child of God, that's who I'm supposed to be listening to and following. These verses speak to us as well when we cry out, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when the fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. God, I need you, and I need you now. Lord, grant me patience, but I want it now. There's an exclamation mark, actually, after those verses. So I'm not shouting at you, just how they're supposed to be read. There's this yearning, there's this abandon. Lord, all right, we turned away from you. Lord, yeah, I did it my way, and now I'm really open to following how you are at work in my life, because I know you love me more than I can ever imagine. I know your grace is unending in my life, so I really want to be open to that from now on. There's an earnestness in that kind of plea, isn't there? And a yearning, a longing for an intimacy with God. God wants that intimacy with us, but as that phrase goes, if you wonder where God has gone, maybe it's not God who's the one who's moved away. Oftentimes we're the one wandering around, saying, God, come along. God's patiently seeing us. God's still at work, waiting for us to be open to how He's leading. And how God leads is always, always the best way. Always. There's this highly theological author, and maybe you've heard his name before, Dr. Seuss. Now, whenever you read Dr. Seuss's books, certainly they're written for children, but is there always a deeper meaning? Absolutely. And there's one particular book that he wrote called Oh, the Places You'll Go. Maybe some of you have read it. I was given it whenever I graduated from high school, by the way, and I still have that. And a lot of graduates are given that. But there's one particular section in this book by Dr. Seuss that talks about waiting. And it talks about this journey of life where we find ourselves at the waiting place for people just waiting. Waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or the waiting around for a yes or no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for the wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting in this place. It depends what we're waiting on. When we wait upon God, when we open ourselves to God, and when we truly open ourselves and humble ourselves and say, Lord, I'm going to wait upon your voice. I'm going to wait upon your movement in my life, and I'm going to wait upon that. That's what's going to be guiding me. That is always the best decision. You know, our history as a people, as the people of God, reminds us again and again that we don't do well without God, do we? When we're doing our own thing, it doesn't turn out nearly as well, satisfying, as when we're tuned into what God is asking us to do. You know, in other places in Scripture, there is this sense of God working powerfully. And yet, I've felt for some time now that God works in the quietness as well. Psalm 68:7, think about God working in power and majesty. Oh God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked. God does something, and the whole world shakes. Yet how often in your time, in your Christian walk, has God also spoken and it's been unexpected? It hasn't been big. It's been subtle. God knows you that intimately that he works in that way in your life. For us to make a place in our hearts so that God can be at home always. So that's where God resides. Not out there, working, shaking the foundations of the earth, causing the oceans to roar and rage, but in here, allowing God to grow deeper inside of us, allowing God to be at home in us. That is what our call is. So that it's never about calling out for God, looking for God, a distant God, someplace far off from us, but rather being aware of that intimacy and that love and that grace that is already churning deep inside at the very core of our being. Advent is very much about that. Yes. Being open to the churning of God inside of us. That waiting. That sensing. God, how are you speaking into my life? During World War II, a young woman named Etty Hillesum kept a journal of her days under German Nazi occupation in her native Holland. As she watched the slow destruction of the Jewish ghetto in Amsterdam, she wrote the following. The jasmine behind my house has been completely ruined by the rains and storms of the last few days. But somewhere inside of me, the jasmine continues to blossom undisturbed. And it spreads its scent round the house in which you dwell, O God. You can see I look after you. I bring you not only my tears and my forebodings in this stormy gray Sunday morning, I even bring you scented jasmine. I shall try to make you at home always. Eddie, her parents, and a brother and sister died in the Nazi concentration camp of Auschwitz. Her journals were discovered in 1981 and were published as, quote, an interrupted life. The Diaries of Etty Hillesum. Somehow in the ruins and rubble of her life, she came to a place of deep, deep assurance amidst of everything being torn down around her. She had that blessed assurance. She found Isaiah's yet in spite of danger and despair. She brings her tears and her forebodings, the grayness of the day met by the scent of jasmine. She speaks directly to God, saying, I shall try to make you at home always. No matter what time it is in our lives, her words are a quiet prayer whispered in the days between Thanksgiving and Christmas, this day of journey that we open ourselves to God being at work in our lives. Pastor Patricia E. DeJong offers these thoughts. I recall a comment that our country has changed over the past years from one that wanted to be good to one that wants to feel good. We see some of this desire every Christmas season as people run from store to store and shopping mall to shopping mall, searching for the things that will bring them and their families some sort of fulfillment and happiness. Peace. The kind of peace that the world is hungering for will not come from trying to fill ourselves with these material things. We try to stem our hurt and pride by running away from pain and caring only about what is ours. We cannot create peace through selfishness, but by opening ourselves to hope. Hope is what is left when your worst fears have been realized and you are no longer optimistic about the future. That's powerful, isn't it? Hope is what comes with a broken heart willing to be mended. At the end of what Isaiah shares here to the people of God, he says these words that bring us hope, even when we're impatient, even when we've forgotten that it's God who's at work in our lives, even when we've forgotten to make that place for God first in our hearts, even when we've forgotten that God's grace is at work churning in us, at work healing, bringing new life, even when we've forgotten what this journey of Advent is really about, that anticipation of a child born, salvation come, even when we've forgotten all of that, we can still have hope. And it's because of these words. Yet, there's that yet. However, there's still good stuff. O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hands. That, my friends, gives me chills. Literally, we are the work of God's hands. God's fingerprints are all over us. God is at work in our lives. But are we paying attention? Are we humbled before Him? In this season of journey, as each candle is lit, as there are other significant things that take place as we prepare as this Advent of God working, Advent, God coming into our lives. May we understand that our hope is always but only in our relationship with God through that Son, His Son, the light of the world, Jesus. Join with me in prayer.